This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Georgia Radio Reading Service, GARS. Hello, I am Karen Stewart, and this is the Better Homes and Gardens program. I'll be reading from the April 2024 issue of Better Homes and Gardens. The first article is Living Sculpture by Vivica Nivelle. Topiary may call to mind grand estate gardens, but the horticultural art form looks fresh in a casual backyard too, and requires less fuss than you may think. High standards. A potted topiary in a classic lollipop shape, known as a standard, add structure and height to a garden or patio. Roses with a strong central stem, like Julia Child, work well for creating a standard topiary, but a surprising number of plants can be shaped this way. Topiary how-to. Evergreen trees, shrubs, and other woody plants are often used to make topiaries, because they can tolerate heavier pruning and hold their shape well. Making cuts. Choose an upright plant that is already at the height you want and plant it in a heavy pot so it won't tip over. Stand back and visualize how you want the final form to look. To create a standard shape, the easiest for beginners, start from the bottom of the plant and use clean, sharp pruning shears to trim the branches on the lower half to two-thirds of the stem. Clip remaining stems into a sphere, making each cut just above a node, a point on the stem where leaves attach. Turn the plant frequently as you work to check the shape from different angles. Taking care. Add a stake if needed to support the stem. To create visual interest at the base, top the soil with pebbles or add a low-profile plant that spills over the edge of the pot. Provide the same amount of light and water the plant normally needs. It shouldn't require any major pruning, but you can keep the shape by occasionally snipping emerging leaves at their base or pinching them with your fingers. Getting in shape. Plants can be clipped into all sorts of fanciful forms, but simple spheres and cones look impressive too. Evergreen and flowering plants showcase variations on geometric themes. For the most complicated one, a spiral, tie a string to the top of the plant and wrap it around in a spiraling line, then use the string to guide your clippers. Some examples of plants to use: moon glow juniper, lemon cypress, lantana, myrtle, English ivy, bougainvillea, juniper, croton, dwarf Alberta spruce. Think small. Creating tabletop topiaries with succulents, herbs, and even annuals is a low-cost way to try your hand at the technique. These types of plants offer a broader range of textures and colors to play with than traditional evergreen shrubs and trees, and many can thrive indoors as well as outside. Some examples of these plants: coleus, globe basil, zwergtop, aeonium, lavender, Gay's Delight coleus, santalina, Mexican heather, and lemon cypress. Get the look. A white and blue palette and natural textures set a breezy backdrop for topiaries. All items from the BHG collection at Walmart.com. WALMART.com. Pendant. all-weather wicker with solar-powered LED bulb. 19-inch, 13 lights black PE woven pendant in natural, $79. Table. Has enough room for a small topiary and a drink. Tray is removable for serving. Lila outdoor 20-inch round woven topside table in white, $68. Planter. For tabletop topiaries, available in three sizes. Fisher ceramic planter in white, 8 inches, $12. Rug. Made from a durable polypropylene and polyester blend. Woven geo 5-foot by 7-foot outdoor rug, $54. Chair. High wraparound sides create a sense of privacy. Taran wicker outdoor accent chair with cushions in beige, $298. Throw. Cozy boucle in a summery cabana stripe. Striped boucle throw in blue, $15. Planter. Subtle texture adds interest to a works anywhere white pot. Teramo round ceramic planter, 12 inches, topiary not included, $26. That article was Living Sculpture by Vivica Nivelle. The next article is Rhythm and Flow by Melissa Ozawa. This small coastal lot turned horticultural paradise packs in the flowers but has an underlying order that makes it sing. Adam Woodruff's love affair with horticulture started with a job doing yard work for his nonagenarian neighbor. She wore a caftan, played classical music, and had an elaborate garden with peonies, irises, and violets, he says. While that experience fostered his love of plants, Adam went on to study botany in college and become a garden designer. It was another encounter years later that forged his aesthetic. On a trip abroad, he met influential Dutch designer Piet Uyldhoff, whose naturalistic style is characterized by waves of plantings that evoke the wild, but are actually carefully designed. I was gobsmacked, he says. I came home from that experience really changed. Inspired, Adam began creating large prairie-like gardens for clients in the Midwest, where he lived at the time. When he and his partner, Sean Muthian, moved to Marblehead, Massachusetts, he saw a chance to experiment with the style in his own space. On the 9,500-square-foot plot, in collaboration with landscape architect Matthew Cunningham, Adam created a dynamic garden with a lush meadow punctuated by a tiny reflecting pool and plenty of places to sit and entertain. The garden is like a tapestry, Adam says. He started with a matrix design, an organizational strategy of layering plants with similar cultural requirements, structure plants, ground covers, fillers, and a few seasonal stars like tuberoses and dahlias. He arranged groups of plantings in diagonal bands about 5 feet wide. As the plants have grown, they have knit together, softening the garden's appearance and crowding out weeds. Every year, Adam finesses the plantings so the garden feels natural, not contrived, which can happen if the design is out of balance or too orderly, he warns. For instance, he removed a third of the pale purple cone flowers because there was too much of it, and thinned out the Caradonna salvia by half to encourage more open flowering and a second flush of blooms. There's a process year to year and season to season. You have to edit, groom, adjust, and rebalance, Adam says. But this style of gardening is very forgiving. Pro tips, into the matrix. Adam creates plenty of naturalistic spaces through his design firm, adamwoodruff.com, adamwoodruff.com. He shares his process. Cluster like with like. Start with a list of plants you love that have similar growth rates as well as light, water, and soil needs, then narrow it down so you have a varied mix. Think foliage, seed heads, and fragrance. Choose flowers with staggered bloom times for all season interest. Adam suggests installing any fast-spreading plants after the garden is established, not in year one. Adjacent plants can help keep aggressors in check. Copy nature. Look for inspiration in the ways plants interact with each other in the untamed landscapes of your area. Naturalistic design can give the impression that you've stumbled upon a beautiful woodland or an open meadow in the midst of suburbia, Adam says. Observe and intervene. Every year, scrutinize the composition seasonally and edit as needed to bring the garden into balance. Tinker, such as adding early summer bulbs, to elevate the design. Landscape designer Adam Woodruff planted a floriferous wonderland in his Marblehead, Massachusetts backyard. Smokebush trees create a sense of intimacy around the patio while picking up the color of a neighbor's maple. The borrowed landscape helps expand a small garden visually, he says. A single bench provides a resting spot and visual anchor amid coneflowers, summer beauty alliums, and orange butterfly weed. A line of hornbeam trees shields the garden from the busy public access path to the boatyard. To handle any runoff from storms, Adam added a dry well beneath the middle of the garden to capture rainwater. For the shadier front yard, Adam wanted a different feel than the meadow out back. It's meant to evoke a woodland edge, he says, of the mix of ostrich ferns, Japanese forest and moor grasses, and white-blooming limetta hydrangea. Low-growing leadwort and Japanese forest grass line the steps to the front yard and a fragrant sweet bay magnolia tree. Landscape architect Matthew Cunningham placed bands of reclaimed granite curbing horizontally to serve as pathways between seating areas. Adam planted between the planks. Manganese iron spot brick creates a herringbone pattern on the patio for a modern feel. Adam converted a zinc bowl into a small pool by plugging up the drainage hole. A touch of non-toxic black pond dye helps water reflect the light. Adam planted the meadow densely so flowers seem like they've naturally sprouted together. Tall purple drumstick alliums are interwoven with perennial summer beauty alliums, pale purple coneflowers, and chameleon-like blue paradise phlox, which look purple in some light and magenta at other times of the day. Behind the seating area lies the couple's parking spot. To hide the less than picturesque view, Adam lined up white planters filled with an array of seasonal flowers.
That article was Rhythm and Flow by Melissa Ozawa. The next article is The Forgotten Bulb by Stephen Orr. Over hundreds of years, the hyacinth, a fragrant bulb originating in the eastern Mediterranean, became the height of fashion in Europe and America. But today, few people grow it in their gardens. We'd like to change that. I've loved hyacinths since I was a kid. Mainly, it's their strong scent that draws me in, which I'd describe as a mix of honey, sweet corn, and wisteria. I also appreciate their wide color range, from pure white to almost black, with nearly a full spectrum of pastels in between. Let's be frank, though. Modern hyacinths are odd-looking flowers, stout, stiff, top-heavy, and waxy enough to almost look artificial. To gardeners who are drawn to naturalistic-looking plantings, these anachronistic flowers have been out of style for decades. Even I have avoided planting them in my garden, where I assumed they'd stick out like sore thumbs. But to other gardeners, hyacinths never went away. Several springs ago, on my daily walk in the neighborhood, I noticed how hyacinths grew in some of the older, more established front yards and mixed gracefully with early daffodils and tulips, almost like a medieval tapestry. They didn't take the bottle brush shape we usually see, but had spare, curving forms that more resembled Hyacinthus orientalis, the original wildflower. The reason is that most hybridized hyacinths return each year with slender flower heads that aren't as thickly packed on the stem. It was a discovery that got me thinking about incorporating them in my own beds. My interest was further piqued when I read a line in an old house garden's catalog, one of my favorite bulb sources, which specializes in rare or heirloom varieties. "Save the hyacinths," it declared, explaining that they are the most commercially endangered bulbs. Introduced to Europe from Turkey in the 16th century, they became so popular that by the early 18th century, there were more than 2,000 hybrids. Now you might find only a handful in most catalogs. Vanessa Elms, owner of Old House Gardens, says the reasons are complex. Some gardeners may feel like I do, that hyacinths can be hard to combine with other plants in the garden. Or maybe they are currently not trendy, kind of like dahlias were a decade or so ago. She also mentioned that in the Holland bulb fields where they are grown commercially, the bulbs can be susceptible to a specific blight if they aren't handled carefully, which makes the yearly supply for fall planting unpredictable. It got me thinking about how hyacinths are a valuable piece of horticultural history. When you plant one, especially if you score a rarer type, you are preserving its genes, some of which stretch back to the 1500s for future gardeners. Being someone who loves history and a bit of a challenge, I bought as many types of hyacinths as I could find from online sources. I ended up ordering over 24 hybrids with an emphasis on the unusual. Super Dark Woodstock, Double Flowered Dreadnought, Bicolor Pink and Green Rainbow Road Ultra Double, and the dainty and hard to find Roman hyacinths that closely resemble the original wildflower species. That first year, I planted the bulbs en masse in my Cape Cod garden, grouping them closely in raised beds where I knew they'd appreciate the well-draining soil. The effect the following spring was sensory overload, visually dazzling and with a heady cloud of fragrance that could probably be sniffed out at sea. Since I needed the bed space for vegetables later, I lifted my bulbs after flowering, then replanted them more naturalistically around the edges of borders and under deciduous shrubs. Next spring, if things go as planned, they will emerge healthy and happy and will do so for years, like the ones I saw in my neighbor's gardens. Ultimately, only Mother Nature knows what will come, and as a gardener who likes to experiment, that's the way I like it. Growing tips. Hyacinths enjoy similar growing conditions to tulips and other bulbs that are native to the eastern Mediterranean. They grow well in zones 5 to 7, with a stretch to zones 4 to 8, and prefer a wet spring and dry summer and fall. Location. They like nutrient-rich but free-draining soil, so if you have heavy, damp, or clay conditions, lighten the planting area by incorporating grit or sand. Planting. Plant the bulbs 6 to 8 inches deep. They bloom fairly early, and their heavy heads can flop in spring storms. Some gardeners stake them with short support sticks, but that seems a bit much to me, so I planted mine close together so they support each other, leaning on each other like overserved guests after a party. Feed lightly with bulb fertilizer in fall and spring. Afterbloom care. If you plant hyacinths in beds that are irrigated in summer, Vanessa Elms, owner of Old House Gardens, recommends digging up the bulbs in late spring, early summer, after they've bloomed, and once the leaves have started to yellow. She then stores them in a dry spot, like a garage or basement, in mesh bags until they can be replanted in fall with other bulbs. With this method, there will be less risk of the bulbs rotting in excess moisture. If the hyacinths are in an area where they don't get a lot of summer irrigation, they are likely to come back successfully without lifting. Hyacinths make long-lasting cut flowers and will fill a room with scent. I tend to group mine into warm or cool tones. But if you like a carnival of color, feel free to mix and mingle them to your heart's content. Looking down from above in my garden, the variations in color combine with intricate shading on individual blossoms and a variety of flower forms, from tightly packed double petal hybrids to looser varieties that resemble bluebells. Plant hyacinths where they can be observed closely in early spring, such as by frequently used walkways or entries. Blue and white varieties, arranged in a tiered footed vase, more closely resemble the original pale blue species of wildflower. Cut hyacinths as the stems start to lengthen and the tight buds begin to show color. Like tulips, they will continue to grow in the vase until they reach their full height. Stems will last up to a week if the water is changed every 2 days. Rainbow sampler. It took some online sleuthing to assemble this collection from oldhousegardens.com. oldhousegardens.com, johnsheepers.com, johnsheepers.com, EdenBrothers.com, EdenBrothers, S as in Sam.com, and Brecks.com, BReck, S as in Sam.com. Order Hyacinths in August to see the latest offerings for fall planting. City of Harlem has been grown for over a century for its unusual shade of soft butter yellow. Rainbow Road Ultra Double, a newer hybrid, not only has up to 18 striped petals in each flower, regular hyacinths have 6, but it also sports a green edge. Roman Dark Blue, very old, circa 1597, closely resembling the original species but with dark flowers and stems. Dreadnought, a dark purple-blue Victorian double from 1899 with petals that sweep backward as it ages. Woodstock, a unique beet color sport, a.k.a. natural genetic variation of Jan Bos. Jan Bos, the reddest of the pink hyacinths. Blue Trophy, has large, clearly formed blossoms in a shade of lilac blue that's hard to describe. Queen of the Blues, it was nearly extinct, but has been rescued by noted UK hyacinth expert Alan Shipp. Dark Dimension, one of the darkest, near black, hybrids in the trade. Mulberry Rose, a bright pink heirloom from 1946 with a darker magenta stripe down the middle. Roman Pink, similar to others in the Roman group, it will increase easily by little bubblets if in a good spot. Miss Saigon has an unusual color for hyacinths that falls between mauve, orchid, and wine. Grand Monarch, petals are the color of spring's silvery blue skies, according to Old House Gardens. Gypsy Queen, a standout bred in 1927 for its slender salmon peach blossoms. That article was The Forgotten Bulb by Stephen Orr from the April 2024 issue of Better Homes and Gardens. That concludes today's readings for the Better Homes and Gardens program. This has been Karen Stewart for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS. This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Georgia Radio Reading Service, GARS. Hello, I am Karen Stewart, and this is the Good Housekeeping Program. I'll be reading from the March-April 2024 issue of Good Housekeeping. The first article is Your Ultimate Garden Planning Guide by the experts at the Good Housekeeping Institute. Turn your backyard into an oasis with these gear picks and gardening tips from the pros in the Good Housekeeping Institute. No green thumb required. Beginner basics for a great garden. Whether you're going for a bed of flowers, a hall of veggies, or a little of both, lay the groundwork for a successful season with these smart moves. 1. Plan it out. Before you start digging, make a sketch of the garden. Think about its size, shape, and location, as well as what you want to plant. The most important element, light. Note how many hours of sun your garden to be receives. Some plants thrive in shady areas, while others need lots of sun to grow or produce fruit.
Soils with high sand or clay content may need amending. Ask your local garden center for recommendations of plants that will thrive. 2. Plant strategically. Stagger the rows so you can fit in more plants, but leave space between seedlings so they'll have room to spread out. Tightly packed ones can get stressed,